Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
This is News for the Soul. Heart to Heart is next with Melanie Oliver. I'll let her reintroduce herself and her show right now. Melanie, welcome back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heart with Melanie. I'm Melanie. I guide souls and heal hearts. And can you believe it's already May? I can't get over how quickly time is flying. We're already halfway through the year. And for those of you who listened to the last call, which was in April, where I talked about self-love, you know, what it is, what it isn't. And then at the end of the session, we did a little self-love theta healing. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. And for those of you that did go through that, if you had any new insights, any new awareness, or maybe some transformation or shifts happened, please share your stories. I would love to know. You can contact me through News for the Soul. There's, you know, all my information is there. It's just really nice to hear stories of shifts and transformation that's happened after healing. And this call is going to be a slightly different tone because if you've listened to my call since last year, you may have noticed that it has been quite heavy stuff. So I talked about theory of the mind, inner child, traumas, emotional trauma, a little bit about narcissistic abuse. So it's all been quite heavy. But over the last 2 months, in particular, it was in March, my work started to shift, surprisingly. I did actually feel this coming last year. And then in January, I felt like something needs to shift. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I didn't know what or how or when or, you know, what to focus on. I actually had my focus on something completely different, which was corporate. I've been intending to get more into corporate. I did get a few, workshops and some big companies and still working with some others. But it didn't really take off in the way that I, or at least my ego, expected. But what has taken off has been essential oils. And for those of you that don't know, or for those of you who have never gone to my website and or didn't listen to my interview with Nicole, basically I studied holistic and complementary therapies at university. I have a Bachelor of Science in Health Sciences from the University of Westminster in London. And before that, I actually also went and did a diploma in college. I did a VTCT diploma in holistic and complementary therapies. So I studied aromatherapy, and then at uni I studied advanced aromatherapy. And in the beginning of my career, I actually started off as a massage therapist, and I did aromatherapy as well as other massage therapies like sports massage. I did shiatsu, Thai yoga, and a whole bunch of other things. But I used to make blends for clients. I remember I had some cases such as I treated a client with alopecia successfully. And I even remember the oils. Like some of the oils I used was mustard seed and pepper, black pepper, warming oils. I also treated clients with migraines, with what else was it, arthritis. So I used to make blends, and I used to be quite good at mixing blends. But then after that, I moved back to Dubai, and I realized that people here didn't actually value or didn't really understand essential oils so much, and they thought they were just coming for a massage. And I kind of drifted away from that whole scene and went more into the mind and body and started to do more like spiritual counseling. And then I did my hypnotherapy, NLP, and all of that. But long story short, I moved away from that. And maybe 4 years ago, I started using essential oils in my sessions for healing. So I would combine essential oils before doing Reiki or before doing any form of energy healing in particular. And then again, now I just dabbled in that. And then 2 years ago, I started to get symptoms from specific chemicals. So for example, I started to have rashes on my skin and have severe headaches whenever I used perfume. So obviously I had to cut out perfume because I realized there were lots of, after doing a lot of research, and I actually had an allergy test done, I was allergic to the chemicals that they use in perfume. And I replaced it with essential oils. And then after that, I noticed that I constantly had this, it's kind of like not a cold, but like stuffy nose that would never, ever go away. And lo and behold, back then I used to burn a lot of incense. I used to love incense, you know, and I thought I was clearing the energies of my house using these incenses, these cheap incenses that you buy, you know, on in the store. And I basically realized, again, it was through the allergy test that I did, that I was allergic to incense. So one of the doctors that I went to see here that did the allergy test had suggested that I stopped using the incense for about a month, and after a month to reintroduce it. And that's what I did. And immediately, within 5 minutes, my nose was stuffed up again. And so I started to do some research, and I became aware that inside these incense sticks, most of them, all it is, it's filled with toxins and chemicals. So I stopped using incense and started to use essential oils. And basically, one by one, I had to start cutting chemicals out of my life because it was actually affecting my health, which I'm going to share with you a little more, some more stories after, even to the point where I started to get itchy from the clothes that I would put on. And again, I realized that I was allergic to the fabric softener. And it may sound bizarre to some people, but I've actually, a client of mine had similar symptoms. And when I shared my experience and started to share with them the oils that I was using, they started to get better. And then one thing led to the other. And in March, it's just taken off. I've been doing lots of workshops in aromatherapy and teaching people how to use essential oils to make their own products, to make their own cleaning products, skincare. And it's just been bizarre because I have not expected this. But at the same time, not long ago, I remember I actually got called. A lady called me and wanted to host. This is when I really realized to take this because it's flowing and it's sort of coming to me. I've not even asked for this. I said, let's just take it and go with it, you know. So she asked me to host a workshop for 14 women. And I did. And the workshop was only supposed to be 3 hours. I ended up being there for 5 or 6. And when I left and I was driving home, I remember feeling so happy, so light and joyful. And I was speaking to a friend and she said, what have you been doing? I said, actually, I've just given a workshop to 14 women. She said, you sound so happy. And that's when I realized, wow, you know, the universe is showing me another door, and I need to walk through it. So I'm going to take a step back from doing all the heavy spiritual counseling and trauma, and going to be sharing with you today more about some essential oils, about aromatherapy, and how it can basically change your life. So why would you want to use aromatherapy? Why would you want to use essential oils Why would you even want to go all natural? Well, basically, researchers have found that we are exposed to around 700,000 different toxic chemicals on a daily basis. So technically, we cannot eliminate all chemicals, but we can do as much as we can to cut them out of our lives, right? And on average, researchers found that, especially in the U.S., the average woman uses around 12 beauty products a day, resulting in exposure to over 100 chemicals before they leave the bathroom in the morning. Now that is crazy. We are constantly consuming chemicals, toxic chemicals, that we don't even know what we're consuming. And these toxic chemicals are everywhere. They're in the cleaning products that you use. They're in the air. Now they've found that there's a high toxicity in the sea. So even the fish that you eat is probably filled with toxins now. The cosmetics, the shampoo, everything that you use, basically, unless you are going all natural and using essential oils and, you know, going all organic, then what you're doing is you're consuming chemicals. And obviously you can't prove the effects, but there is a lot of, and you can't claim it, but there's a lot of scientific evidence that suggests exposure to these toxic chemicals over a long period of time can contribute to things like cancer, infertility. This is a huge one, and this is one that I see a lot here in the Middle East. I'm not sure what's it like in the U.S., reproductive problems, early puberty, endocrine problems, neurological problems, metabolic problems, basically everything. And the problem is, if you take these toxic chemicals just a little bit, that's okay. You're not going to feel symptoms, basically. But imagine using the same chemicals for years and years on end. That is when the problem arises, because years of consuming these toxins, some of these toxins your body is not able to break down. And so it stays in your body, it stays stuck in your body. And that is when you start to get problems, not in the beginning, but maybe 10, 15, 20 years from the time of consumption. Let me just have a little sip of water. So basically, there is a big red flag list. DEA, MEA, they're all found in shampoos, bubble baths, face cleaners, color additives, which is mainly in food products, fragrance, which I said is in perfume. I started to become allergic to fragrance, and deodorant, soap, skin products, household products. And all these are synthetic fragrance, even the ones that says, you know, lavender smell or whatever, rose smell. These are synthetic smells. They're not natural. They're man-made, basically. Quats, which are in hair products, fabric softener, you know, household cleaning products. And even the household cleaning products that you use, you know, to wash your plates or to clean the floor, you're standing on the floor, so you're absorbing it through your feet. And sometimes, you know, even the dishwashing that you use, the residue is left on your plate. And then you eat from that. So you consume it that way as well as inhalation. You actually inhale some of these toxic chemicals. Petroleum, SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate, which is a foaming agent, which is in shampoos and body products, and it's actually used to clean car engines, just FYI. And there's a whole other, chlorine, talc, and there's another one called propylene glycol. Not sure if I'm saying these properly, but if you have any cleaning products, basically, that you buy from the supermarket or any of your skincare, I would encourage you to actually go and turn around, flip the label and have a look at what's inside these products. Because most people don't even look. They think that just because it's in the supermarket, it's safe. I'll use it at home. But little do they know that actually it's not safe. It's filled with toxins. So what I have been doing, mainly because I have been I've been noticing symptoms in myself, and I didn't do this all at once. I did it one thing at a time, because otherwise, again, it can get overwhelming. So I've been slowly ditching these chemicals, these products, and making my own using essential oils. So there was a research done in Vanderbilt Hospital emergency room with an essential oil diffuser, and basically before essential oils, 41% of the workers reported stress on the job, and after essential oils, the number dropped to 3%. And the same thing with frustration and on the job, over 60% reported frustration on the job, and after diffusing essential oils, the numbers dropped to 6%. Also, there's been a lot of research done in terms of using essential oils as medicine, and this is not something I can claim. Obviously, if you are sick and if you're in an emergency case, you need to go to your doctor. You need to take antibiotics and go to the emergency room. But I just wanted to share a story, and also because I've had experiences, some of my clients have had experiences, sometimes there are cases where using a few drops of essential oils is all that you need. So over a year ago, actually, I started to have I don't know if it was an infection, but it was inflamed, my right lymph node behind my ear. So basically, I left it, as you do, until it got really bad, and then I couldn't open my jaw. It was really painful, and so at that point, I went to the doctor. And she basically, within 5 minutes, prescribed me antibiotics. I came home and I really didn't want to take another, 10 days of antibiotics. So I looked at what was in my kit and what oils I had. And obviously I studied this at university as well. I know how to use them properly. And this is another tip as well. If you don't know how to use essential oils, please ask someone that does. Ask an aromatherapist, get guidance, and do your research. Anyway, so I had one particular oil blend, and which is called Immuno Power, basically for immunity. And I put 2 drops behind my ear, and basically I did that 3 times in one day. So I did it in the morning, I did it in the afternoon, I did it in the evening, and I went to bed. The next day, it was gone. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that it was gone. Basically, I used 6 drops of essential oils, which cost me probably less than $1. And I had paid for the consultation $100 to get prescribed antibiotics, which I had to pay for, which I didn't in the end. But my point is, sometimes you can use something natural and safe and save you lots of money, and something that works in harmony with your body. So essential oils are being researched more and more, because the more that you use antibiotics, basically your body builds a resistance to antibiotics. So you constantly need higher doses, as well as when you use antibiotics, they kill off good bacteria. And no essential oil has ever, basically the human body does not build a resistance to essential oils. So in the future, maybe if I have some another information, I can use 1 drop again, and it'll still work as effectively. So this is why essential oils are being more and more researched. Also, I just want to state that it is impossible to avoid all toxic chemicals, but you can minimize exposure. And you do that by replacing, first of all, your cleaning products, your skincare, your perfume, and this is, oh, I've done all the above now, and as much as you can with natural ingredients. As well, and mixing it with essential oils is a good start. And small things like, for example, if you have a headache, peppermint is amazing for headaches. And again, I'm going to go through a lot of these. So this is actually what's been happening in my life. This is what's been taking off. This week I've already had two workshops yesterday, and then I had another one last week. I've had 3 workshops already this month. I've got another one next week coming up, and it's just been crazy because people just keep calling me to run these workshops, which is also, I suppose, has been refreshing, and I guess that's why I wanted to share as well. In case any of you are interested, you can always get in touch. So what are essential oils? The definition, basically, it's an aromatic, volatile liquid that is within many shrubs, flowers, trees, roots, bushes, seeds, that is usually extracted through either steam distillation or cold press or some sort of process, depending on the plant, depending on the oil. And why would you want to use essential oils? Because it's basically nature in a bottle. Essential oils are 100% natural. They contain no toxic chemicals. They're very gentle on the body. And essential oils is basically the blood of the plant. It is the immune system of the plant. That is why it's called essential. It is essential to the life of the plant, basically. So it carries it carries nutrients to different parts of the plant. It carries oxygen, it fights illness, and protects the plant. And essential oils work in the same way in the body as they do in plants. And it's able, because the molecules are so tiny, it's able to penetrate the cell membrane in 3 seconds. And it diffuses through the bloodstream. It's super concentrated. One drop contains at least 40,000 different compounds, beneficial compounds. And basically, a lot of people say that this is alternative medicine. But if you think about it, this is actually the oldest form of medicine, dating back 4,500 BC. Essential oils are referenced over 200 times in the Bible, in particular frankincense and myrrh. In ancient Egypt, they used essential oils for anti-aging, also to preserve the mummies as well. And if you look at the mummies now, after being discovered after thousands of years, they're actually pretty well preserved. And what they embalmed the mummies in was frankincense. And what you'll find is that in every anti-aging cream that you see in the market will always have frankincense in it. It is basically known for anti-aging. So instead of putting frankincense mixed in with all these other chemicals, why not just directly put frankincense on your skin? You know, mix it with a little bit of coconut oil. Have it pure as Cleopatra did, you know, or how they embalmed the mummies. So being in the Middle East, we actually have the biggest source of frankincense is basically from Oman, and that's where it grows naturally. It's basically the country next door to me. And before they discovered petrol here, it was actually one of the most prominent sources of income. And they used frankincense for everything, for clearing energies, for using it in toothpaste, deodorants, like everything. And what a lot of people don't know is that in ancient Egypt, when King Tut's tomb was raided, they actually didn't steal the oil. They actually didn't steal the gold, sorry. They went in and stole the oils. Which is interesting. It goes to show how valuable they perceive the oils to be. And I think now in particular, like using essential oils and the value of essential oils is slowly coming back. The old medicine is returning. Anyway, so back in ancient Egypt, Cleopatra used it for everything, for perfume, for beauty, for creams, ointments, for healing as well. She was famous for using her oils, basically. And not only that, essential oils, their vibration are extremely high. So scientists basically measured the vibration of essential oils, and we vibrate at from around 62 to 68 hertz. This is our normal frequency, and essential oils vibrate from around 100. I think lavender vibrates at around 118 hertz, like pure lavender, and the highest vibrating essential oil is rose, which is 320 hertz. So it's almost quadruple what we vibrate. So using essential oils actually increases your vibration. And when you are vibrating at a high level like that, that's when you can actually shift your perception. You're able to think more positively. Whereas when your vibration is low, when it lowers, that's when you start thinking negatively. And also when you start thinking negatively, this is when, you know, bacteria and viruses can sort of kick in. So using essential oils not only protects you from getting sick, it can elevate your mood, it uplifts you, and it's for your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. And there's a technique that I use called Aroma Freedom Technique. And it's been amazing. I've seen some amazing results. I've had also some awesome little manifestations happen, which is always fun, you know, to watch. And basically, it's because of this. When you inhale essential oils, your sense of smell is it's one of your only senses that is linked to the limbic system in the brain. And the limbic system in the brain is actually the part of the brain that is associated with memory, with emotion, and with state of mind. So by inhaling the oils, you can actually shift your perception. You can change your mood. And you can actually, if you don't believe me, you can Google scent marketing. This is actually a thing now. Big hotels, I know here in the UAE, they do this a lot. Also in high-end brands, this is huge here. They basically use a lot of nice smells so that you associate feeling good, you know, in their shops or in the hotel, so that you buy more, so that you come back and spend more there. And but there is, like I said, there is a whole technique using your sense, your sense of smell and essential oils for healing as well, which is what I do in the, if you follow me on my Facebook or my Instagram, you will see that I always post about my full moon manifestation and healing, which I do every month. So this is the technique I use, and I do use essential oils in the session. Also, if you think about it, your sense of smell is also your sense of survival. It's actually one of the only senses that you use in terms of survival. So for example, if you smell burning, you immediately go and you see what's burning and you put it out, you put the fire out. Or if you open the fridge and you smell something rotten, or if you take that food and you put it close to you and it smells rotten, you immediately want to, you feel repulsed. And naturally, it's an instinct. You know not to eat that because it's rotten, right? So your sense of smell is really important. And we're actually supposed to be able to smell 10 to 40,000 different smells if we're trained to, but you know, we're no longer trained in any of these things, but you can train yourself to smell these different scents. So there is a basic guideline, obviously. So the company that I use, by the way, I haven't mentioned it, it's called Young Living. They are a U.S. company. Actually, sadly, Gary Young, the owner of the company, just passed away a few days ago, which was very sad. I never got to meet him. I never got to go to any of the events. But I must say I have worked with different essential oils company in the past. And I remember on two occasions I got a rancid oil. And it did put me off the whole company. But I've been with Young Living now 3 years, because I started in 2015. 3 years. And I have never had a bad oil. I started this off mainly just for myself. And now it's ended up me sharing it with others. And really, it's just grown and it's growing and going out of control. In a good way, of course, over the last 2 months, because it's nice when you share something valuable and then you get you see results. Last month I had several clients that purchased the kit and immediately I always call them and say, you know, hey, how's it going? What oils would you like to start with? How can I support you? And they'll tell me what symptoms they have and I'll share with them how to use it. And one of my clients, she had problems sleeping, and she had insomnia. Well, she has had insomnia for many years. So I suggested lavender, and I showed her how to use it, in particular with some reflex points. She messaged me the next day, and she said, I've slept for the first time in years. And the same thing happened with a different client, her son, who has trouble sleeping. He slept for the first time in a year. And also another lady who her son had digestive issues. So I suggested peppermint mixed with coconut oil, and they put it on his belly. And the next day, the son actually came up to the mother and said, you know, Mommy, can you put some of that magic oil on my belly again? So when it's not just about sharing the oils, it's really about when you see people get results and they're so happy that they don't have to take antibiotics, they're using nature as medicine. That is what makes me happy as well, in a safe way. So anyway, so I've been with Young Living now for 3 years. They've been in the market for over 20. They've got the largest range of essential oils, single and blends that I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing because you can always, you know, try new oils and all of this. They have farms all over the world. They are therapeutic grade oil. They've been approved by the FDA. They do a lot of charity. I fell in love with the company. I started off a little bit like, yeah, let me just try this, try that. And the more results that I get, and the more results that my clients get, I'm just totally in love with the company and also with the oils. So they are therapeutic grade oils. And this is important because the essential oil industry is not regulated. So basically what that means is you can have 5% essential oil and then fill it with synthetics or whatever else, and then you can call it organic. So if you are going to be using different oils, please do your research. Do not apply some of these in the way that I'm suggesting. I'm just sharing you my experiences. Because if you don't know what you're putting in your body, you could just be putting toxins inside your body, and then maybe you'll end up with a headache, and then you'll wonder why. So please do your research. But yeah, so Young Living has been basically changing my life. So how to apply essential oils? So there are three ways. One of them is topically. So you apply it directly on your body. So for example, again, this is from my own experience. This is when I just started to get back into aromatherapy and realize, wow, these oils are pretty powerful. How did I move away from this? Anyway, so I had severe ovary pain in, you know, that time of the month, to the point where I couldn't actually walk. I couldn't move. And I actually applied lavender and ylang ylang over my ovaries, and within 20 minutes, the pain was gone. And I had been taking before that Postpan Forte, I don't know if you know that, and Brufen, because I was in so much pain and it wasn't working. And I think it was because I've been taking it for a while. And as I mentioned, you constantly, if you take it for a while, you will need eventually higher and higher doses. So this is when once I had the lymph node thing and then the ovary thing, and once I started to feel the result of the oils and experience it for myself, that's when I started to again realize the power of essential oils of nature, basically. So just using this topically had an effect within 20 minutes. And same with a headache, actually. I used peppermint. Obviously, you have to be careful with your eyes, with some of the oils. So I just put it lightly on my head, and within 10 minutes, my headache was gone. So topically, you can inhale it, you can diffuse it. With a starter kit in Young Living, you get a diffuser, and you can take it internally. Again, I do not suggest you take this with any old oil. Young Living have a vitality range, which is basically the oils that you can take internally. Some of them you can put them in your water. You can take them under your tongue as a supplement. And yeah, so these are the three ways in which you can take essential oils. And they all work. I've got so many stories. I'm just trying to think about what else to share. Okay, so how you can start to go chemical-free, basically, you need to start ditching some of these chemicals and replacing it with oils, with nature, with more natural ingredients. And just go all natural. So one of the kits that I started with is the Young Living Premium Starter Kit. It has 11 essential oils and a diffuser. And literally, it's all you need to get started. And with these 11 oils, you can start making cleaning products. You can start making your own face care products. And also, you need some natural ingredients, like what I call the usual suspects, which is vinegar, sugar, bicarbonate soda, raw honey, coconut oil. These are your basics. And just with these, you can start making your own stuff, basically. And you'll be surprised at the cost. Like, I was speaking to, I just did a workshop, and people immediately think, oh, you know, it's expensive. But if you look at, for example, I made a toner, a lavender toner, which is basically 100 ml of distilled water and 10 drops of lavender. That's it. That's my lavender toner. And if you look at a toner in the supermarket or some brand, it's going to cost you at least $15, $20. I don't know what the cost is in the U.S., but the average cost here, that's the cost for a cheap one in the supermarket. But if you go for these high-end brands, it'll cost you at least $30, you know, $50. And I just made a lavender toner with 10 drops of lavender, which cost me 90 cents. So the whole toner actually cost me 90 cents because the water didn't cost me much. So if a lot of people think it's expensive, but if you look at it per drop, it's actually not expensive at all. You can make, like I make yoga mat cleaner, kitchen cleaner, face cream. Face cream, I normally use a serum, like one drop of frankincense and half, like a not even half a teaspoon, like a quarter of a teaspoon of coconut oil is enough for my face. And that's it. You know, you save hundreds, I was going to say hundreds of dirhams, but where you are, it's dollars. In Dubai, it's quite expensive because everything is imported anyway. Let me just have a sip of water. So yeah, so this is what's been happening over the last month. It's just this whole essential oils and sharing and works has just completely taken off. I'm going to go through some basic oils just to give you some examples. This is from the starter kit. So peppermint, as I mentioned, is really good for anything to do with the digestive system. You could put a drop in a liter of water. It enhances your gut health, basically. If you have any bloating, you can rub one drop over, you know, your stomach. You can also use it before workout. There was a test done where people actually inhaled peppermint and used peppermint while they were working out. And basically, they performed better. Peppermint is great to reduce fever, and it's also it's kind of like the caffeine of oils. So it helps you to stay awake and stay alert, and it improves concentration. So it's just a great oil to have. And right now it's coming into summer here, so the summer heat is kicking in. And what I do is I put one drop of peppermint on my neck to keep me cool in the summer. I mean, I'm not sure about Fahrenheit because I can't work. My mind doesn't work in Fahrenheit. But here it can get up to 48 degrees Celsius, sometimes up to 50, 52 degrees Celsius. And that is pretty hot. I'll have to figure what that is in Fahrenheit and let you guys know. But yeah, so that's peppermint. Lavender, which is the mother of all oils. You can use it for anything to do with the skin, you know, rashes, burns, eczema, skin irritations, to reduce stress. It's also great for sleep. It's actually well known for sleep. It's a very comforting oil. And because it's so good for the skin, it enhances the radiance of the skin, and you can use it to moisturize your skin as well. It's a very because it's a comforting oil. I actually use lavender when I do the manifestation and healing workshops. It works really well. The next one is lemon. Lemon is a natural detox. So you can, for example, put one drop of lemon in your water. Again, I'm talking about the Lemon Vitality from Young Living. And you can use it as detox. You can put one drop in the fruit bowl to increase the life of your fruit so that your fruits last longer, it doesn't rot as quickly. You can use it to clean your chopping board. It's really good to cut greasy spots and oil and stuff. So it's good for cleaning if you're going to make your own cleaning products, which I do. It's really good to elevate the mood. Lemon is an uplifting oil, so it's good for depression, for when you're feeling down and you just need a quick pick-me-up to feel a little bit more joy, you know, in your life. It elevates your mood, basically. You can diffuse it even to elevate your mood. The next one is frankincense. So frankincense, I think I mentioned it before. The mummies used it for beauty. Cleopatra used it for beauty. The mummies were embalmed in frankincense. So again, anything to do with the skin, it's incredible for stretch marks and wrinkles in particular. For depression, it's a very spiritual oil. So it's really good for meditation. But also there was a study done with frankincense, and what they found was that frankincense actually started to eat cancer cells, which I thought was pretty amazing. So you can check that out. You can Google that as well if you want. It's really good to inspire creativity, and for me, this is more about spiritual connection, to connect to your higher self, to speak to your spirit guides, to God, to meditate, basically, to go within. The next one is thieves. So thieves is a specific blend from Young Living. It's incredible for colds and flus. It's basically for your immunity. This is actually one of the ones I use to make my toothpaste with bicarbonate soda, thieves, and coconut oil. Sometimes I use also peppermint or spearmint. It's really good for anything to do with the gums, so bleeding gums, infections, pain, gingivitis. It's good to treat colds and flus and viruses and things like that. Actually, there were a few times where I was about to get sick and I took some thieves and I didn't get sick, basically. And Young Living actually have a whole range of products, cleaning products, house cleaning products in particular, made from the thieves blend. And I do have a nice story around the thieves, but I'm not sure I'm going to have time to share more of that story. Or maybe I can. So basically, the way that the thieves blend was created was that in the 14th century, there was in the time of the Black Plague, when it hit Europe, there were four spice traders who were trapped in the city because it was quarantined. So they closed the city down. They couldn't get out. And since these four men could not run from the plague, they formulated an aromatic blend composed of cloves, rosemary, and other like herbs and spices. And basically what they did is they covered themselves and these herbs and spices to avoid getting the plague, to avoid getting sick. However, they used their idea to help them run through the city. Basically, they used to go and steal from the sick and from the dying. And once the quarantine, basically they opened up the city again, and they were the only... that these four traders, they were the only four that survived. Everybody else that got sick died, and they never got sick. And so when they were captured, obviously the authorities asked them, like, how on earth did you survive the plague? And these thieves, well, the four spice traders who became thieves had to share their secret, basically. And the herbs that they used to embalm themselves in became the blend for thieves, which I thought was quite cool. It's a nice story. So the other one that you get on your kit is Panaway. Now Panaway is incredible for arthritis. So it's actually a very, very strong oil. It's kind of like the tiger balm of oils, if you know what tiger balm is. It's quite big here in Dubai, in the UAE. I don't know what it's like there in the US, if you have an equivalent. So Panaway is kind of like that. It's really good for aching muscles, to reduce injury, to improve circulation, for spasms and cramps, menstrual cramps, sciatic cramps. So any muscle aches and pains, you use Panaway, and because it's quite strong, I would always dilute it, and I like to use coconut oil more than anything, so you can put it on your sore muscles or make a little balm for your joints with Panaway. The next one is Copaiba, and this is really good to reduce pain, and inflammation. It's great for any sort of stomach issues. It actually can help to support healing in cases of like food poisoning. It's again also really good for the skin. It's a diuretic, so it stimulates detoxification. It stimulates urination and to detox your liver, basically, your kidney. It's great for scars, for reducing scars, for lowering blood pressure, and and general detox of the body. Another one that you get is Digize. So basically with this one, it's anything to do with the digestive system. It helps to relieve heartburn, indigestion, bloating, diarrhea. You can take it as a supplement. I have a lot of intolerances to things like gluten and lactose, for example. And so when I go out, I mean, when I eat at home, I eat quite clean. But when you go out, it's very hard to know what's really in the food, especially when, you know, you go to countries and they don't speak English. So what I do is I use Digize. Obviously, I try to be as careful as possible, but sometimes, you know, there's nothing you can do. So I use this. You basically take it as one drop in your water or one drop under the tongue 30 minutes before food, and it helps you to digest your food better. It has ginger, peppermint, fennel, lemongrass, patchouli, juniper, tarragon, and anise. And it helps to clear parasites as well. So it's been amazing. I love this oil. You also get RC, which is another blend. It's incredible for anything to do with asthma, with sore throat, and with breathing. Anything to do with the respiratory. It's also great to kill, you know, germs and bacteria in the air. So it's nice. It's a nice one to diffuse. So one of my clients that signed up in March, her son couldn't breathe basically, and because he couldn't breathe properly, he would have trouble sleeping. So I told her to diffuse RC and put a little bit on his chest, mixed in with she diluted it with coconut oil. And basically, within the first night, she messaged me the next day and said, you know, my son slept and he can finally breathe for the first time in years. So that was really nice. You know, it's really nice to hear when people get results, basically. Actually, I had another client who signed up with me in March, and her husband had hay fever symptoms. And basically, he's had this thing for at least 7 to 10 years, apparently. And they don't know when it started, but he's just had it for this long, and the doctors don't know what it is. He's taken everything for it, and basically nothing that he was doing was making it better, so he gave up. And he was living with these hay fever-type symptoms every time he woke up or went to bed. So I told her to... obviously, I don't know what the allergen is, and also I'm not a doctor, but I was just making suggestions to clean the air with the diffuser. So basically what they did was they diffused peppermint in the morning, and I think in the evening as well, I'm not quite sure. But since they started doing that, the first day that they started, the symptoms disappeared. Now, she didn't message me that day because she thought it was a bit of a fluke. But after 5 days, his symptoms completely disappeared. He's not had it since. And she messaged me. I actually, if you're interested in learning more, I have a closed group called Young Living with Mel. And I took a picture of her testimonial, and I posted it in the group, basically. And every testimonial I get, I post in that group. So if you're interested to know more, you can always, you know, check out the testimonials there. But, yeah, I've been having such incredible results, and it's just making me really happy. And I thought I'd share in case some of you might like to try the oils and be guided, and so I can show you and teach you how to use them, basically. So the next oil that you get is Citrus Fresh, and this is a blend of different citrus fruits, so orange, tangerine, grapefruit, lemon, and spearmint. This is really high in antioxidants. It's a great air purifier. It supports your immune system. It's good for weight loss. It's uplifting. It's good for anxiety, insomnia, and it's a great one to use for cleaning products. And it just promotes a feeling of joy and creativity. And the last one that you get is Stress Away. And Stress Away as the name suggests, is to reduce stress and anxiety. It's great to stop panic attacks. It improves sleep. If you have a lot, you know, agitated kids, you can diffuse stress away. You can apply it onto your sore muscles or tense muscles. And also to calm anxious pets. If you have a long journey, like a road trip with the kids, you can spray or put a few drops in the car to keep the kids calm. And it does actually work. I used it on my pets, actually. And there's that time of the day that they just go mental. And I try not to record during those times, but or work. I'm not able to book clients around that time. But when I first got the oils, I used it on my dogs. I diluted it with coconut oil, and I put some in their little armpits and in their chest. And Johnny, my partner, came home, and he said to me, "What happened to the dogs?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened to the dogs?" He said, "Why are they so calm?" And then I remembered. I was like, "Oh, I use some essential oils on them to keep them calm." So it does work, and the fact that it's natural and it's not harming, you know, it's not harming the dogs, it's not harming you, helps as well, doesn't it? So let me just have a little sip of water. So that's basically the starter kit. And for those of you that are interested or would like to know more of how to get the oils, basically Young Living is an MLM. So you can register online and you'll just be put under some random person. If you would like me to guide you, then you can register under my number, which is 342-7498. You can go onto their website, and there's a little section on the bottom right that says I was referred to Young Living by, and then you can click on that and put my number, which is 342-7498, or you can just contact me and I'll send you a direct link, and then I can add you to my private Young Living group, which is slowly growing. And as soon as you get your kit, we can have a phone call. And basically, I'll guide you for free. I can teach you. I've been making little videos for the group on how to make their own products. And just with any symptoms that you have, I'll give you a little protocol on what to use and how to use the oils, basically. And you'll see how easy it is. Normally, people think it's complicated, it's difficult, but actually, it's pretty simple, it's pretty straightforward, and once you get to know how to use the oils, and more importantly, once you feel a result and a shift, then you will start to notice, start to value the oils and realize how powerful they really are. That's it, really. That's it for today. I try to pack everything in. I hope that you enjoyed it. It's something a little bit different. Also because this is where I'm headed right now. I've been doing workshops like crazy for the essential oils, and it's been really fun. I've been really enjoying it. It's also refreshing to do, I think, something different, because a lot of my work is quite heavy. So doing this on the side, or just splitting it, you know, 50-50, has been really enjoyable. I've actually really enjoyed it. It's making me really happy. But for those of you who would like to book an intuitive readings with me, I do intuitive readings, I do soul readings, I work with a combination of your Akashic records, as well as clairvoyantly, intuitively, mediumship. You can do it through my website, melanie-oliver.com, and it's Melanie with a Y. It is on News for the Soul. And this readings is mainly if you want clarity. I don't believe in predicting the future. There are things that you can that I can see because you are projecting it into the future, or also because you've projected it from the past and it's about to happen. And some of those things are inevitable. However, I use readings more as a PowerPoint. So to see what you are projecting and what you can start to shift within you, to shift your projection basically and change your reality, it's basically how you take your power back, the way that I work. So I work more in terms of clarity and really seeing what's inside your consciousness and your state of mind, and to give you clarity on what you're projecting and what to shift with the readings. I also have my heart and soul coaching or healing. It's more spiritual healing. And this is where I work with you one-on-one on whatever issue or topic that you have. And we work on whether it's processing emotions, healing childhood traumas, releasing limiting beliefs, breaking disempowering family patterns and dynamics. Recovering from narcissistic abuse is a big one, which I work with a lot. So you can check that out on my website. I also have two more spaces for my retreat in Brazil, which is the Ayahuasca Awakening. It's on the 22nd of July to the 29th of July. I'm so excited because it's basically going to be close to my hometown. It's 5 hours from my hometown. I haven't been home for 3 years, so I get to see my family. So if you're interested in that, and if ayahuasca has been calling you and you're a little bit scared, then I'll be more than happy to have a call with you. We can have a quick chat to see if you resonate with me, with my work, and if you feel comfortable. Then it's all inclusive. I'm also going to be teaching about how to access your Akashic records within the retreat, so that when you go away, you also have a tool to work within your own consciousness, to work inside yourself. It's not just about, you know, taking ayahuasca and that's it. It's really about doing your inner work. So if that's been calling you, you can check that out. Otherwise, I do also have two main love programs. One of them is Healing the Broken Heart, which is basically a process that I created after seeing so many women who are heartbroken on how to get over their ex. It works really well. I've done it hundreds of times now. You can either do it with me privately on a one-on-one basis, or there's also the downloadable audio program version on my website. And there's the complete heart attunement, which is the second part of it, which is dealing more with, you know, inner child and mother-father issues and all of that. So if you're interested in any of my programs, or even if you are interested in working with me and you have no idea what program you need or what to choose, you can just contact me through my website. It's Melanie with a Y, -oliver.com. Or if it's easier to remember, you can go to hearthealingonline.com. Otherwise, if you'd really like to have some inspiration daily, you can follow me on social media. Again, it's just my name, Melanie with a Y, .oliver. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. Facebook, I do more Facebook Lives as well. And yeah, that's it. That's it for today. I hope that you've enjoyed the call. And I'll see you, well, not see you, I will speak to you all next month. Bye for now.
The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. Right. But we can just find the good news.
NFTS. News for the Soul at the very best. NFTS. News for the soul at its very best. NFTX, NFTX. News for the soul at its very best.
Yeah, man. Just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NFTS, NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS. News for the soul at the very best.
Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time, come hear the good news, share the good news. And we all feeling good for the good news.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we are back. Yay, I'm Nicole Marie Whitney, and this is still News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And definitely, I think we got that covered for the next hour. I am going to be interviewing Annie Kagan, and hopefully I'm saying that right. When her brother Billy died unexpectedly and began speaking to her from the afterlife, well, that's where we're going to start. We're going to find out what her response to that was and the story that ensued. Annie, I'm so excited to finally talk to you live on News for the Soul. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Also terrific. Really glad that last retrograde is done. That's all I'm saying.
I understand.
Yeah, it was something, wasn't it? So, but we're here now, and this is the main thing. And I am so excited about your story. When I was reading the little teaser blurbs online, I'm like, I have to know everything. So I'm really excited that you're here, and I can pick your brain and start at the beginning. So let us start at the very beginning, where tell us about your brother and your relationship with your brother before he passed.
Well, my brother was my older brother. And all of our lives, he was known as the bad boy, and I was the good girl, which is why the subtitle of the book is, to mean there's life after death. And when I say bad boy, I mean it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because, of course, to me, Billy was always somewhat of a glamorous figure, because he was very charismatic and very handsome, and although he definitely had a romance and a problem with addiction for much of his life, he was a very loving, very fun person who enjoyed life probably a lot more than I did, even though I was the good girl who played by the rules. And so that's why I call him kind of my bad boy brother. And those two titles, bad boy and good girl, kind of got in the way of our relationship when he was alive, because I think it created a lot of envy on his part. And now that he's on the other side, he's kind of making up for lost time.
So were you close in life at all?
I would say yes and no. I pretty much adored him and really wanted his love. But again, because I was the better student and got more attention in certain ways, I became a doctor, and, you know, he went to jail. So there was this very, there was kind of a boundary between us in that regard. So I would say that you know, while we were alive, for a lot of the time, he kind of resented me. And what's really interesting for me is after having written this book, many people have contacted me who kind of have had a bad boy brother and sister. And so that's one element here that's kind of interesting. And I don't think it's been spoken about too often either.
Interesting. What about as far as your own awareness, consciousness levels? Have you had, I hate the word paranormal sometimes, but sometimes it's the only word that kind of sums it up, experiences beyond what we were originally told was reality prior to any of this stuff going on?
I think even as a little girl, as a teenager, I was kind of a seeker. I always felt like there was more going on to life than met the eye, and I was always interested in quantum physics when I got older, and I think one of the important things was that I was a very, very serious meditator, and that came as a surprise to me because I was a chiropractor, and really, I took up meditation because I wanted to strengthen myself to make it easier to work with people who are in pain. People don't realize that it's very stressful to work with people who are sick. And so I really meditated to strengthen myself, but the opposite happened in a way where I became actually a lot more sensitive, and I began meditating, to my surprise, for 2 to 3 hours every day. And then I just loved meditating so much that I actually left New York City, sold my practice, left my life, and really to be alone and was seeking solitude and meditating a lot. And I think that's the closest I could answer that question with, that I became a very, very serious meditator, focusing a lot on the light and the inner sounds.
That's definitely on. Makes sense, you know, retroactively as far as what happened. So, when did your brother pass?
Billy died in 2005. And he contacted me for the first time 3 weeks after that.
3 weeks. How did he pass, if you don't mind me asking?
Of course not. He was, in the last years of his life, Nicole, he was overcome by his addiction. And it was the middle of the night, and he ran onto a highway in the middle of the night, and he got hit by a car and was killed instantly. So, of course, I was very grief-stricken when I got the news, and pretty much could barely get out of bed for a couple of weeks. And to my shock and surprise, I was waking up one morning, and I actually heard him call my name from above me. Like he had a very distinctive voice, and he's like, Annie, get up, it's me. And of course I thought I was sleeping, so I said, oh my God, I'm dreaming, because Billy's dead. And he's like, no, open your eyes, get up. And then he was still speaking to me, so I got a notebook, as he instructed me to do, and I started recording what he was saying. And also, as he was speaking and describing this beautiful, magnificent universe that he was flowing through with divine higher beings tending to him, the beautiful, beautiful atmosphere of where he was flowed into me. And now, instead of feeling totally grief-stricken, I felt quite euphoric.
Wow. Okay, so you audibly you literally heard him.
I literally heard him, and I heard him at that time, I heard him outside of my head. It wasn't telepathic, as many people describe, but later on, as he got further away, deeper into the afterlife, the way that I heard him changed. So sometimes I would like see a light in the room, and then I would really focus on it, and then I could hear him. So it was like turning on a radio. So the frequency changed as he changed.
So his initial communication, the audible audio communication, I mean, what was your reaction, first of all?
Well, people always ask me, weren't you scared? And the truth is, it was so comforting that while he was speaking to me, I wasn't scared at all. But then when he left, I would say that I was extremely skeptical, and I thought that somehow my imagination or my mind had created this experience. I don't know how. I don't know how you go crazy all of a sudden. But, you know, that somehow my grief had driven me crazy, and I was imagining things. And I've always been a very, very skeptical person, actually. And I think that he very much knew that I was doubting him. And so on his second visit, he promised that he would prove to me that it wasn't just my imagination and that he was really speaking to me from another level. And he did. Over and over again, he gave me proof that I just couldn't ignore after some time, believe that I was really having this very amazing experience.
So what kind of proof?
Yeah, he gave me what's called evidentiary after-death communications, which means he provided me with information that I didn't know, which turned out to be true each time. So the first example was I was in my kitchen, and he said to me that he wanted me to find his car because there were things in his car that he wanted me to have. And I didn't even know that he had a car. So he told me to look in his wallet, and when I looked in his wallet, I looked through his business cards, and I found a card from a Mercedes dealer. And when I found that card, he said, "That's it, bingo." And when I called the number on the card, it turned out that the dealer did have Billy's car. So either I had suddenly become psychic or Billy was really talking to me. And those kind of incidents continued.
Wow. I mean, that's really specific.
Oh, yeah. And actually, it goes on and on until he actually helped to save someone's life and also turned around someone else's life completely. I don't want to spoil the story, but the proofs just intensified until I had no doubt that Billy was really talking to me. And what was really wonderful is that if Billy is really talking to me, that means that go on. The message behind it is that we really are divine eternal beings.
Wow. So walk us through, let's back up to the first time he's suddenly, you know, your deceased brother is having a chat and you're not scared. What is he telling you that first visit?
Well, the very first thing he did was he assured me that he was fine, that he wasn't in pain, because, of course, you know, when somebody dies a violent death, like being hit by a car, you worry about them. And he assured me that as soon as the car hit him, he wasn't in pain. And, in fact, all the pain of his entire lifetime was healed in that moment, and that he went up a beautiful chamber of silvery lights, and that he was flowing through a divine universe. And in his bad boy way, he said, "You know, death isn't really as serious as we think it is. It's really enjoyable. In fact, it couldn't be better." And then he assured me that we would definitely be meeting again.
Has the contact always been audio? Have you ever seen him?
I have. There was a certain point. At the beginning, I didn't see him at all. And then he was changing form. He became kind of formless, and he went away for a while. And then he told me that he got a new body. He got a body made of light. And after he had his new body, I was surprised to go outside one day and to be able to actually see him. But that was only a few times. Usually it was an auditory communication. And of course, the times that I saw him, he was kind of fooling around with me. He was pretending to be an angel with kind of a halo on his head and making kind of over-exaggerated saintly faces. So a couple of times I really was able to see him.
So a joker on the other side as well.
Definitely. He definitely retained his personality, and that's one of the things that I think that people are finding interesting about the book, is his personality is very irreverent, and he's kind of has street cred, and the way he talks about the afterlife and the way he talks about life on Earth is from a different perspective. It's not kind of dry, and it's just, let's put it this way, it's extremely unexpected. He's a very unexpected messenger. That's what I would call Billy.
So give us an example of something where he's coming across that way.
So he talks a lot about life on Earth, and I think that for me, having been kind of a good girl, I was always waiting for the moment when life was perfect. So I have a lot of expectations of life. And that can lead to a lot of disappointment. And one of the things that Billy taught me was that really you have to have a shadow element on Earth, that life on Earth cannot exist without the shadow element. So the sea has to have storms, the wind has to have tornadoes, and I'm much more accepting of the way life is now and also of my struggles, because one of the very controversial things that Billy says is that, you know, even though he struggled with drugs and alcohol, came to life to explore that struggle, and that it's okay for us to have different struggles, and we really can't judge the struggles that we have because it may be something that we signed up to do on Earth. So he has it's a very kind perspective, really.
Did he answer any questions as to, like, why we have to have the shadow here on Earth?
He says it's just the nature of life on Earth, and also he talks about us coming here to do wisdom experiments. That's what he calls it. Like, instead of learning, we're coming to write these wonderful equations that are wisdom equations, and I guess that the atmosphere of gravity and light and dark enables us to go through situations where we become wise. Conditions of Earth, that's where it happens.
So I wonder why we would have to come to where there's darkness to become wise. When are they not more all-knowing over there?
There's definitely a different atmosphere, and it's very blissful on the other side, and also on the other side, the divine nature of everything is obvious. Here, not so obvious. And one of the things that we're doing here is we're searching. So we're searching for our a connection with our soul. Why we need to come into this atmosphere to do that, he never said, but that's a really good question. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, have him get back to me on that. I want to know.
I like that question. That's a really good question, and I have to say that really didn't come up. So I will. That will be one of the questions I will ask for sure. I think, yeah.
So, but you do have the opportunity then to go back and forth and ask questions and really dig deeper continuously.
I do. Billy's still around, and it's only recently that I've begun to gather questions together to ask him, because people have questions who've read the book. And that's a really good question, like, why here? I know it has something to do with matter and something to do with gravity, very specific conditions that are here. But further than that, I really can't say.
Well, not only that, but why the hell we need to be exploring darkness and shadow and ick in the first place? Like, okay, it's there, it sucks. You know, why can't we, why? Why do we need to?
Well, what I understand, this is just a little bit that I understand, and also one of the things, Nicole, that I do understand is that we can't understand. Like, one of the things that he says is that, you know, you could try to understand things with your mind, but you never really will, because the mind is very linear. And, of course, we always prefer pleasure over pain as human beings. So, you know, you say, like, why in the world would I come to Earth to, you know, have kind of a painful experience, and that you really don't understand. But what I do understand is that the divine evolves through our experience. And the divine is always looking for something new. And this is some kind of a ground, like a laboratory where things are discovered. So I believe that the divine evolves, even though the divine, whatever that really is perfect in itself. It also likes to change and evolve. That's the closest answer that I could give you.
So God's the work in progress.
Yes. We don't think that way. And that's the other really surprising thing about the afterlife. With my meditation, I think I believed that after you died, you kind of became nothingness, and you kind of lost your identity, and you were in a sea of bliss, which was okay with me. That sounded pretty good. But what's surprising to me is that what Billy explains, or what Billy is describing, is an evolutionary journey that the soul goes through after you die. And actually, you change more on the other side than you do in life. So it's all about change, and it's about becoming a higher being on the other side. So the whole thing is really an evolutionary journey. That was very surprising to me.
What specifics, what details has he told you about his evolutionary soul journey on the other side?
Yeah. Well, at first, he was tended to by these loving beings, and one of the difference between near-death experiences and the experience that he's describing is that he describes going through many different life reviews, and he describes viewing his life from almost a very Zen point of view, a very non-judgmental view of his life. So he says, you know, they say there's judgment day after you die, but really it's the opposite. You view your life in a completely non-judgmental way, and you have a deep, deep understanding of everything that you've done. And you also get to live out your unlived life. So, for example, you know, if you were at a crossroads with your occupation, with what you were going to do as a job, you get to see the job that you didn't take and what that life would have been like. So you get to live out all these different lives. And then he says, but you know what? He says, at some point, you don't care about it anymore, because being in the afterlife in the state of bliss is much more interesting than what you left behind. So he describes that. He also, he goes through many, many different realms. One of my favorite realms is called the Stream of Life, where he's sitting in a pitch black area, and there's a stream made of rainbow colors, and the stream has a magical sound which draws him in until he just becomes part of the stream. And then he says that from inside of his soul, he hears these melodies, and they were melodies that he created while he was on Earth. And he gets to hear these melodies, and they really reveal to him the pleasure and the reasons, like we were talking before, the real reasons why we come to Earth. And some of it just has to do with the awe and wonder of being alive, the simple things like breathing and loving and you know, looking at the flowers, the very, very simple pleasures of life. The pleasure of just being in a body is revealed to him at the stream. And he goes through all these different realms and levels, and he evolves.
So what about coming back into a body?
Yes. Well, many people come back into their bodies and they evolve further. And there are also many different places in the afterlife where you can go to evolve more. So, but everyone who dies does a life review and gets to see a Buddha eye view of their life. And then they decide whether they're going to come back or go to another place to evolve. Or like Billy, I don't want to spoil the story too much, but he just goes on to higher and higher realms and describes them. Like one of the really beautiful things is we have something called a soul tribe. And that's really your spiritual family. And you get to reunite with your spiritual family. And one of the interesting things is there are many different soul tribes, which explains why there are many different ways to get to the divine, because we're all different.
What about infinity? Has he addressed that issue with you?
Yes. And he says even in infinity, there is time. But time is measured not as it's measured on Earth. It's not measured by clocks or the Earth turning. But it's measured by change. Everything is about change. So you're in a moment and you're fully into the moment. One of the things he says is, you know, you're never thinking about what you don't have on the other side. You're so into the experience that you're into, and that gives you the feeling of infinity and eternity, because really time, the way we experience on Earth, has to do with our minds. And on the other side, you're really having experiences more than thoughts. You're just in the moment.
How is it that he contacts you now, or do you contact him, or is it kind of a willy-nilly thing, or how does that communication continue now?
Well, he's very much in charge of it. I don't call Billy because he's definitely in charge of the affair, and actually I think he's very involved in the book, because people report to me often that while they're reading the book, they actually can feel Billy's presence. And the experiences that I've recorded from Billy, other people are also able to have an experience when they read his words. So I believe that he's doing a lot of things that I'm not even aware of.
So it's like the book.